Welcome to Coffee, Culture, and the Capital with Sophia and Greg.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It has been busy, busy, busy at the Capital. This is, I think, Greg, you said it on a call we were on the other day, the busiest time of the year at the Capital. There's deadlines coming up on bills. Lots of bills are going on. So we have a lot to talk about today. But before we dive into the crazy, Greg, what do you have to drink today?
Well, I'm sorry. I know we have coffee in the name of our podcast, but I'm not drinking coffee because I've already drank my coffee today. Two cups. I'm having Hint, which is my new favorite drink. Today we have watermelon. It's just a hint of watermelon flavor, and there's no sugar or artificial flavors I'm not sure if there's artificial flavors. I doubt anyway, it tastes like watermelon, but no sugar. What about you?
I just have a black coffee today, and I have it in my It Is Well With My Soul mug. It is a great reminder when we're dealing with stuff at the Capitol that it is well with my soul.
That's a good reminder.
Yes.
Even though the crazy world out there, the crazy Capitol, things are well with our soul, and that's the most important, right?
Absolutely. And that's an important reminder for all the things we're about to talk about today. There is quite a few different things. Stay on till the end because Greg's going to give a little rundown about what's happening next week at the Capitol so you can stay up to date with all of that. But if you notice, the title of this podcast has to do with women kind of being under attack at the Capitol. And we saw that in multiple ways the past two weeks. Starting off, we're going to get into legislators thinking men can get pregnant. We're going to get into legislators, some defending women's sports, some saying that men should be in women's sports. We're going to get into all that mess. But first is SB 1219. And this has to do with sex trafficking and that it's just significantly increased here in California. SB 1219 is by Senator Sayarto. It was a great bill. It was a bill that California Family Council was supporting. That bill had a hearing this week. Greg, can you give a little better explanation of what SB 1219 was created to do and then how that hearing ended up going?
Right. Now, a couple of years ago, we had Scott Wiener, who his ultimate goal is to legalize prostitution here in California. But they can't do that all at once. They have to persuade the public. And they do it slowly, bit by bit. So the first little law he was intending to pass was to not legalize prostitution, but to legalize loitering for prostitution, which is this is the most dangerous type of prostitution there is. Women who are put out on the street it used to be in the middle of the night. Random guys are lining up around the block to purchase them for a few moments of sex. And then they go back. They could do this up to 20 times a night. It's horrific. And police are sometimes feel helpless in stopping it because to prove it, you have to actually hear a solicitation. But there was this law out there called loitering for prostitution. If you were out on the street, half naked, talking to men driving up, talking to them in cars, then getting in the car and then doing it over and over, everybody knows what's happening, right? You're selling yourself, right? And so police could give tickets. They could arrest the women, separate them from their pimps who are watching them on the street, provide an out so they could do an investigation, find out if they're out there, you know, against their will. It was a tool police used to start trafficking investigations to help put together cases against these guys who were selling these women. Senator Wiener didn't like that bill. He said, "Oh, you're judging these women based on what they look like, and you don't know what they're doing. They could just be out for a stroll, and you're just judging them based on, you know, the clothes they're wearing." Of course, there was no epidemic in women accidentally getting arrested for, you know, wearing scantily clothes down the street. That wasn't happening. This is all Scott Wiener's plan to legalize prostitution because he thinks that's going to help traffic women, right? No, it's not. It's anyway. So this is, we've been fighting this for a couple of years. And when he legalized lawyering for prostitution 2 years ago, just like we thought, sex trafficking exploded on our streets. Instead of just coming out night, the women were coming out all hours a day. The men, their pimps would be out there with them, forcing them to work hour on end, and guys were lining up around the block, right, with no fear, because the loitering for prostitution is also for the guys. You could ticket them for soliciting prostitution, and now, you know, police were unable to do that with this, you know, because it was no longer illegal to loiter for prostitution. So we got a legislator to introduce a bill to make it illegal again, and that was SB 1219. This is one of three bills that have been introduced this year to deal with this problem. And so I know you have some video of the hearing, so you can just see what happened. It was sad. We didn't win this battle, but we're still in the fight.
Well, and then, like Greg said, we didn't win this battle. So how that kind of went down, you can see the video clip. The full hearing is on our YouTube page, California Family Council. Was Senator Sayarklo, who is the author of the bill, was actually also on the committee. He was the only Republican that was there in the committee hearing, because sometimes legislators have multiple committee hearings at once, different things, and so they're running around to the different things. So the only two that were there was Senator Scott Wiener and then Senator, how do you say her name?
Wahab,
yes. So those were the two that were there. This bill would basically undo what Scott Wiener did through SB 357. It was kind of there to do that. And so he didn't move the bill. Senator Wahab didn't move the bill. So the bill ended up not being moved to get a vote on. But like Greg said, we have a clip where Senator Scott Wiener tries to defend his SB 357 from a few years ago. So let's check that out.
I do want to, however, just say some of the narrative around SB 357 is just blatantly false. And I say this as someone who has been around this and involved with it for a few years now. I will say that, just to give you some examples, even before this law went into effect, there were police who were telling their communities, there's nothing we can do because of SB 357. This desire, let's find a scapegoat and let's blame the legislature. No, law enforcement has the tools that they need to arrest traffickers, to rescue trafficking victims, and to enforce the law. You don't need a vague loitering law that leads to absolutely arbitrary and discriminatory enforcement.
According to the chiefs, SB 357 makes it harder for officers to arrest people for human trafficking.
Operations and alleged sex workers appeared to be soliciting outside a grade school in East Oakland 1 month ago. Now a group of mayors and police chiefs based in Southern California are joining an effort to repeal a law they say makes it harder to crack down on these crimes.
Do you know that the traffickers and the buyers were boasting on social media that because of the decriminalization new law that they can just openly sell human beings for sex on our streets?
Democrats and Republicans have reached out across the state because they want to support the efforts to repeal this law. We are very concerned that children's lives are at stake.
We need to repeal it.
Oakland City Councilman Noel Gallo is joining the mayors of three Southern California cities and five police chiefs that want to repeal the law, including National City Police Chief Jose Tejas and San Diego Police Chief David Nislight.
My biggest concern that's coming true is we're seeing young women being trafficked against their will, a lot of them being juveniles. Just now we're having traffickers who are emboldened by this law.
I think the
common layperson believes that prostitution is now legal.
These police chiefs say the new law is making it more challenging to crack down on trafficking operations.
With SB 357, which is a law that just took effect in January, and it overturned the loitering that is for purpose of prostitution law, which was meant to cut down on profiling of people. However, the chief today said it's making their jobs harder because it's harder to arrest people for human trafficking.
What you're seeing is our sex traffickers are now working in impunity. We're seeing victims of young age having their lives completely destroyed, and our ability to address this is difficult.
Senate Bill 357, though, this was authored by Senator Scott Wiener, who said the previous loitering law resulted in, quote, disproportionate criminalization of trans, black, and brown women and perpetuates violence towards sex workers. Your response to this, and tell us, how has this impacted your officers' abilities to investigate sex trafficking?
Well, you know, the bill, you know, well-intentioned. But here's what we're seeing out here. What we're seeing is you have the sex workers out there, a lot of them out there being trafficked against their will. Our way of rescuing somebody is to have that initial contact, to have an officer go up and say, hey, what puts you out on the street? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. We find out a lot of these people are juveniles. They're runaways. They're in a very bad relationship. They're being forced into this business. When this bill was enacted, it took away that ability to contact that. But also, you know, talking about the disparities, there's other ways to look at that and see if you can minimize that disparity. Mm-hmm. But again, how many more victims do we need to have? You know, we rescued a 13-year-old girl. There's no way in heck that she wanted to be out there. She's being trafficked. And so, you know, I've been doing this now for 35 years, and this is getting worse. And this was a very predictable and foreseeable consequence of this.
The police have plenty of tools to deal with trafficking, and they should be doing more work to address human trafficking and less complaining.
And so, like you saw, Senator Scott Wiener at the opening of that video, he was defending his SB 357, saying there's a false narrative painted about what's happening. And all those video clips, that wasn't just one news interview. That was from multiple different news stations, from multiple different clips, all clipped together to show you that it's not this false narrative. There's police chiefs from different cities, from different counties fighting against this. There's mayors fighting against this. And even there at the end, you saw Scott Wiener still in an interview backing up his SB 357, saying that the police needed to stop complaining.
I mean, his arrogance is highly annoying. You know, he's got his narrative, and he's going to stick with it, act confident no matter what evidence is given to him. I mean, I have, since that bill was enacted, I got like 3-4 pages, you know, of stories that have been done, not just by one news outlet, but all over the state, right? So the news media has been doing their job, but legislators like him are ignoring it. They intend to legalize prostitution, and they don't want to be bothered by the facts, right? So, you know, the public needs to rise up and not put up with this kind of behavior, and not let legislators get away with it. The sad thing is that on this committee, there's only 5 members. And so this public safety committee is resistant to make a change. And if they don't feel that their own communities are in an uproar over their decision to ignore the problems of human trafficking, you know, and it's sad because, you know, I've been up here for 10 years and everybody wants to fight human trafficking. They introduce all these bills and then things are getting worse, right? What does that tell you? That means that the bills they're passing are ineffective. And then they repeal laws that do harm, and then they continue to defend them. So come on, folks, can't give up on this. These kids, human trafficking is one of the most horrific crimes imaginable, and it's attacking the most vulnerable. You know, we got to keep speaking up and not letting this happen.
Absolutely. And there are some good human trafficking bills that we are supporting. So you can check out our watch list, and we'll keep you guys all updated on what to support and what to oppose. But right. with that, another way that women were under attack. So we saw women under attack in that aspect of the fact that this is mostly affecting, we saw in some of those news clips that were played, young girls that are being sex trafficked. And so they're not being protected through the SB 357 and by the Senate Public Safety Committee killing SB 1219 this week. Another way that we are seeing women under attack was this week. There was AB 2319, which is authored by Assemblymember Lori Wilson. A co-author is Assemblymember Weber. Our Attorney General Rob Bonta is sponsoring the bill. And when they introduced this bill, they did a big old press conference. And this the whole idea behind this was, this bill is going to help us decrease Black maternal mortality rates. Okay, that sounds great. Who would be against that? No one's against that. So let's look at what the language actually says. First of all, it dove into this whole idea that Black maternal mortality rates have increased simply due to implicit bias. That's not factually correct based off of studies. But second of all, the main thing that this bill does to attack women is it says they're trying to focus on how to force implicit bias training on these healthcare providers. And one of them is going to be talking about transgenders and non-binary people giving birth and birthing people. So let's get one thing straight. There's not birthing people. Only women can give birth. If you can give birth, you are a female. If you want to say, you can say whatever you are. You can say, oh, I'm a transgender man, if that's what you truly think in your head. But at the end of the day, if you can give birth, you are a female. Only women can give birth. So it's erasing something that only women can do, which is really embarrassing that it's actually this law is authored by a woman, co-authored by a woman, has multiple women that are co-authors onto it. It's just so disturbing to watch women directly erasing women at the Capitol. And women at the Capitol not being able to say only women can give birth. So this bill was heard this week. I testified in opposition alongside with Aaron Friday, one of our dear friends here at California Family Council. And Greg, I don't know if you were able to see the full hearing, but something I found interesting, it's not going to be in the clip we show. You'll see in the clip we show my testimony, I dive into the implicit bias about Black maternal mortality rate. And I give a study. That was about like 2% of my testimony. Most of it was focusing on the fact that men can't give birth. And Assemblymember Weber, she is an OBGYN. And she chose to not respond to anything I said besides the Black maternal mortality rate. Again, this isn't in the clip. If you go to our YouTube page, you can hear the whole hearing. But herself, as a female and as an OBGYN, couldn't agree with me in that only women can get pregnant. She just chose to disregard it because she doesn't want to answer anything about that. But Greg, do you have anything you want to say about this bill or what's going on before we play the clip?
Well, implicit bias, like what does that mean, right? Implicit bias is biases you have that you don't realize you have, right? Now that could be true. Sometimes we should always be aware of our implicit biases on issues, but what they're saying is that if you believe that only women give birth, that is evidence of bias and you need to be retrained, right, to think differently. Like, and this whole bill is, hey, more women who are in the minority, either Black or brown, are dying of childbirth because those who are giving them health care are biased against them, right? Now, that would be terrible if that was true. So we need to look into that to see if our doctors really treating certain races worse than others, and that explains. But to simply assume that's happening or is wrong, you have to find actual evidence of it. But then to try and retrain all of our medical workers who work with, you know, in maternity wards. This is one of the things you put in your testimony, even in the analysis of the bill. It was talking about how maternity wards, people who work in maternity wards need to, be retrained. But what is a maternity ward? Maternity is maternal. Mother, mothers are maternal. It doesn't say paternity. It says maternity. So I thought it was great that your testimony, you know, said that, you know, even the people who wrote this analysis needs to have their implicit bias retrained because they assume that maternity wards are only for mothers when I guess fathers give birth too. So this is a crazy world we live in where we have to pretend that the obvious isn't true. But anyway, let's hear some of your testimony.
A man does not have a cervix, a uterus, or a vagina. How could a man get pregnant? How would a baby come out of a man?
That non-binary people and men of the transgender experience give birth. Thank you for stating the obvious.
Chair and members, my name is Sophia Laurie, and I'm with California Family Council. According to this committee bill's analysis, AB 2319 seeks to reduce the effects of implicit bias in pregnancy, childbirth, and postnatal care, and that the legislature recognizes all birthing people, including non-binary persons and persons of transgender experience. Yet, how is it implicit bias to believe only women can give birth? The biological, scientific truth is only women can give birth. During childbirth, the cervix expands so the baby can travel from the uterus through the vagina. A man does not have a cervix, a uterus, or a vagina. How could a man get pregnant? How would a baby come out of a man? The bill analysis accidentally acknowledged this in a section titled Maternal and Infant Health Outcomes in California. It doesn't say paternal health, but maternal health. Sounds like your committee staff knows only women can give birth. Does your staff need implicit bias training too? Women are not birthing people, as this bill states, and we must stop using belittling language to erase the reality of things only women can do. Lastly, the AB 2319 fact sheet discusses how implicit bias is causing an increase in the Black maternal mortality rate. I believe we all want to see the Black maternal mortality rate decrease, but we must unite in a search for the real causes. A 2019 Harvard study found that over the past decade, implicit bias based on race has decreased by 17%, and explicit bias has decreased by 37%. If this implicit racial bias reported in the Harvard study were the sole cause of maternal mortality, we would expect pregnancy-related mortality in the Black community to decrease. That is not what is observed nationally. It is time to look deeper at the factors that may be unique or overrepresented in Black communities to discover the sources of the disparities. This bill needs to explore other reasons besides implicit bias to explain Black maternal mortality rates, and it is not implicit bias to know that men cannot get pregnant. It is a fact. For these reasons, I urge a no vote on AB 2319. Thank you.
That non-binary people and men of the transgender experience give birth. Thank you for stating the obvious.
So I just want to note when at the end you see Assemblywoman Mia Bonta saying, thank you for stating the obvious. She's not talking to me. She is responding to Assemblymember Lori Wilson saying non-binary people and men of the transgender experience give birth. That's stating the obvious.
Right. I mean, non-binary, that's people who don't identify as either sex. Of course, they are one sex or the other. Certain people who identify as non-binary can't give birth. Those are the men. And certain people who identify as non-binary can give birth. Those are the women, right? And then men of the transgender experience. Well, that's not, okay, that's a new way to talk about it. But according to Senator Wiener, transgender men are men. Transgender women are women. And all the laws and this bill is going to make healthcare workers treat people who say they are women as though they are women, and people who say they are men to treat them as they are men, even if they are women. So you're going to make all these healthcare workers lie about science and what's obvious. It's just going to... What a headache. What a headache these medical professionals will have to deal with.
I mean, what's going to happen when you have someone who is a male that thinks they are a female, is upset that they can't get pregnant, but they can't get pregnant because they're a male, but they think they're a female, and now they want to go through fertility care, and then the doctor has to be like, yeah, let's go through these steps because you think you're a female. Like, it's just so illogical to try to even, like, wrap your mind. Like, even everything you said right now, Greg, like, I'm trying to keep track of, like, what does that mean? What is that? Like, it's so illogical. It doesn't make sense. It's so upside down. And this bill, if passed into law, these healthcare professionals will have to go through this implicit bias training. And if a healthcare professional or a hospital is like, we don't want to teach these doctors that anyone can give birth because it's just completely illogical, it's not scientific based, it's not biologically true, all this stuff. First fine, $75,000. Next fine, $125,000. So take this implicit bias training and be told that anyone can give birth, or you owe $75,000. Absolute insanity.
This is when civil disobedience needs to come into effect. When the government mandates you believe something you know not to be true, to do something you know isn't true, then they're asking you to do something that is wrong. And you have an obligation before God to not listen to a government that seeks to make you lie, right? You have an obligation to God above government. God wants us to obey our government and submit to our government right up to the point where the government tells us to do something we know to be wrong, right? We are not to be simply passive, okay, well, it's the government, what else can I do? No, you are obligated to disobey the government. You're obligated to disobey the government. I mean, it's hard to tell, you know, you don't want to tell your kids, hey, don't listen to the government. Well, it depends on what the government is telling you to do. And so that's what's going to stop this craziness, is that you have to resist, right? Yeah. Compliance is passive compliance with laws like this are what enable government leaders to be a tyrant, right? And folks, I hate to say it, but our government is becoming tyrannical. That's the times we live in. So
absolutely, 100% right on that. And I do think if we see this bill pass into law, hopefully we'll see California doctors that don't agree with it stand up against it and take it to the courts. But right. With that, we also saw an attack on women when it came to women's sports. Luckily, we actually saw legislators, some of them, stand up and also defend women's sports, which was great. This went down because I'm sure many of you have already seen all over social media and all over the news the whole thing about Transgender Day of Visibility being on Easter Sunday. So that wasn't just a national thing that Biden did. That was also here in California, the Senate did a Senate resolution acknowledging March 31st, which was Easter Sunday, as Trans Day of Visibility. So during that Senate resolution hearing, we actually saw something we don't often see, and that was the Republicans standing up and speaking out against the attack on women through this resolution. And it came to the women's sports. There was a line in the resolution that had to do with sports and the issue of sports and recognizing trans in sports. And I guess let's first watch what Scott Wiener had to say, so that way we can end with a good video instead. But this is what Scott Wiener had to say about people responding and saying that this resolution, they won't vote yes because of the attack on women's sports.
There was one famous situation, a swimmer from Kentucky who complained that a trans woman tied her, and because of a tiebreaker, came in ahead of her. What she neglects to mention is that they tied for sixth place because five cisgender women finished ahead of the trans woman who was swimming. And that became a cause célèbre as some sort of argument against trans participation in sports. There are kids in general, and particularly trans kids, they just want to live their lives.
They just want to live their lives. Well, girls just want to be able to play their sports. So let's get that straight. Second of all, No one is saying, I guess the best way to say this is, here at CFC and myself personally, we do not believe in this trans ideology. We believe that a male is a male and a female is a female, and we're not going to waver on those beliefs. I also do believe there are people that are genuinely confused, and in their minds, they're choosing to think they can change their genders. They can't, but I do think there are some people that are genuinely thinking they can do that and are confused. No one is saying anyone that's going through that can't play sports. No one's saying that you're not allowed to play sports. Right. All we're saying is you have to play on the sports team based off of your sex, based off of your biological sex. So whatever you choose to identify as, if that's what you choose to do, that's what you choose to do. We're not saying you don't get to play sports. We're saying what has been done for many years. You have to play on the sports team as your sex. And so Scott Wiener, during that, he, the cause celeb, calling out Riley Gaines, who has just done a phenomenal job in protecting women's sports. And Greg, we saw a little Twitter showdown about that, didn't we?
Yeah, I think you notified your friend, Riley Gaines, that Senator Wiener was talking about her. And she responded, right? And I find this is what gaslighting is like. Like, somebody says some outrageous thing with such confidence and trying to make the public doubt themselves, right? I mean, one of the most basic things in the universe is that we come in two, human beings come in, we're either male or female, right? I mean, that's the two ways we come into the universe. It's the main difference between us. And we don't, that men tend to be physically stronger than females, right? We have different bone structures, and, you know, that's been so logical. And, you know, that's why it's another most obvious things in the entire universe. And that's why we separate the sexes, right? And so for him to pretend that, oh, that's ridiculous, that we're being biased, that, you know, these people just want to play their sport in whatever side they want to. Well, then I don't understand, why do we have women's sports at all? Why don't we just throw everybody together and play soccer or football or hockey or track and field, right? And just let, if there's really no differences between men and women, and everybody knows that's ridiculous. Yet this guy stands up and gets elected every year, and the legislature keeps saying it over and over and makes everybody feel like they're, you know, they're not being nice to people. Like, we're mean we're ruining people's lives because we're just standing up for, you know, the most basic truth in the universe. Right. So, you know, so we don't be discouraged. You got to be with confidence. You know what is right. Stand up and say so. Right. To sit there and do nothing, you are letting people like Scott Wiener rule the world, and you do not want that. You do not. Right. So anyway, that's my rant.
Exactly. Well, and here's the thing. There's so many things wrong with allowing men into women's sports and women's locker rooms and women's bathrooms. There's so many things wrong, from women losing out on experiences to scholarships, right, their starting spot, all that. But my two biggest things that I'm afraid of, and something we've already seen happen, is women and girls being sexually assaulted because of the policies allowing males into restrooms. We saw that happen in Loudoun County a couple years ago. We saw a girl was sexually assaulted in her high school restroom because of the policy allowing boys in it. The other thing I am just fearful of happening, and some people might say you're being dramatic or taking this too far, and I don't think it is one bit, is when that first girl dies of an injury, because men are stronger. Men are stronger. Men have bigger muscle masses. Men are taller. Men are faster. One hard hit in a soccer game, one hard spike in a volleyball game, a collision in a basketball game. What happens when that first girl breaks her neck, breaks her back? That is possible, and that's what we're heading towards if we don't stop this. We've already seen major injuries We've seen Peyton McNabb, a senior in high school, playing volleyball. A male spikes the volleyball down to her face. It's been almost 2 years since that, and she still doesn't have she's still partially paralyzed in the right side of her face.
Wow. And well, so, yeah, I was glad to see the Republican senators stand up and say something.
Exactly. And so that's what we saw. We saw Senator Brian Jones, Senator Sayarto, and Senator Shannon Grove. They all stood up and said something. So I want to play Brian Jones's clip of what he had to say, because it was pretty good.
The challenge I have is I have three children. I have two boys and a girl. My girl is in the middle. All three of them have played collegiate level volleyball. My boys are 6'4". My daughter is 5'4". Most female college volleyball players are 6 foot tall or taller. Most male college volleyball players are 6'7" or taller. And when we are seeing the impacts on female sports around this country, both at the high school level and the college level, the brief reference to sports in the resolution is what is causing me to vote no today, and appreciate the ability to be able to share those sentiments today. But I think we've got to come to a place where we're protecting women in women's sports and allow women to accomplish every dream that they have set out since they were little girls to compete at those levels and be able to win and win the prize that they've worked for. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that was, I mean, it was encouraging to see three people stand up on the Senate floor and really stand for the protection of women's sports.
I mean, we're encouraged because sadly, it rarely happens. Yeah. Right. So, I mean, that's, we're trying to be positive here, but this kind of thing should be happening all the time. And hey, we're trying to encourage these legislators. Hey, thanks for standing up and saying something. You know, where's the rest of the legislature, right? You know, because that's typically Republicans are not standing up on these things. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, so, but hey, they did this time, so thanks.
Yep, exactly. Well, at least we're able to end on that positive note of somehow women are slightly being defended and stood up.
There you go.
But to wrap it up, we have, like we said in the beginning, this is the craziest time at the Capitol. There is so much going on over the next couple of weeks. One of those things being the California March, April 22nd. Join us at the state Capitol for the March for Life. Go to californiafamily.org. You can learn more about that. But the other thing is just lots of bills. So, Greg, to wrap up here, what is going on next week at the Capitol?
All right. Well, I'm going to just fast go through half a dozen bills really fast. Right now, we have a deadline coming up. It's on April 26. Most bills, if they're going to make it out of a policy committee on one side, they've got to make it out of these policy committees by the 26th. So everything's over the next 2 weeks is going to be having a hearing. So there are so many bills that we can hardly keep track of them. We'll be speaking out, testifying against some of them, testifying for them. But just next week, I'm just going to give you a quick overview. There is AB 2442. This is a bill that is going to give special privileges, an expediting licensing for a medical licensing board. If a particular medical institution wants to get a license to do trans medicine, which means puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, top surgeries, sex change operations, this is going to expedite their permitting process, because, you know, other states are banning these practices because they harm minors. And different countries are banning puberty blockers on minors because of the damage done to them, to kids. So, but not in California. We're doing the other direction. So that's up. Here's another bill. AB 1856 is saying, hey, AI, you can change somebody's body, take this a naked picture and stick somebody else's head on it and publish it online, they're going to make that illegal, which I think that's a great bill. So that's up. That's 1850, AB 1856. Another bill, SB 954, is in the Senate Health Committee. This is free condoms in high school and junior high. You know, there's an STI, sexually transmitted diseases epidemic, especially with syphilis. And their solution is to give free condoms to high schoolers and junior hires, even though condoms don't work on that particular disease. They work, if you wear them, they work on some other sexually transmitted diseases, but that's only if you use them. All right. And so this is a failed approach that they've been using for years, and now we have a sexually transmitted disease epidemic. So that's up next week. Another bill, SB 894. This bill is actually makes it a crime for a pastor to have sex with a subordinate. As you know, there you've heard a lot of stories about pastors or priests having sexual relationships with those under their care, and they're going to make that a crime, even if it's consensual. So I've been looking at this bill. So far, I support it. There's no way pastors should be having sex with their secretaries anyway, right? All right, another bill, SB 1128, is a bill that sex with minors, any sex with minors, you get on the sex registry. Over the years, you know, at one point, they put out a bill that said, you know, you only have to get on the sex registry if you're 10 years older than the minor, which is a crazy idea that a 24-year-old could have sex with a 14-year-old and he wouldn't be put on a sex registry. So that's a bill to deal with that situation. So that's a good bill. SB 1283 deals with smartphones and social media at schools, enabling schools to limit the use of kids using smartphones and social media on school campuses. There's a lot of bills related to that. A lot of stuff on social media, people finally recognizing its harm on kids. So that's an interesting bill. We'll see what happens to that one. There's another bill regarding public libraries, AB 1825. You know, there's been a lot of parents around this state and around the country trying to get pornography out of schools. And this bill is going to limit that. It's going to say, at least as far as we can tell, it's only dealing with county libraries, not school libraries. But it more or less says, you know, you can't limit the age of those who see content in a library, and you can't limit the sexual content of books found in the library. Now, they have some exemption for things the Supreme Court say are obscene, but that's the worst of the worst stuff, like child pornography. So we're watching that bill very carefully. We're really concerned about it. My concern is that they're going to allow, you know, actual pornographic magazines into your library, and there's nothing and you're not going to be able to stop it. You know, your libraries are going to turn into your local adult bookstores. All under the name of freedom. So those are just some of the bills up next week, just to give you an idea. And then the week after, there's going to be more. So,
and it might seem overwhelming how many bills there are and what's going on. So at any point, you can visit californiafamily.org. You will see we have our bill watch list. That's where we have all the bills that we're watching. It's probably, like, I think it's just the easiest thing to navigate. It puts it so clearly. You can see if we support or oppose the bill. You can see we have our little 1-2 sentencer about what the bill is. Go through our blog page at californiafamily.org. A lot of these bills we have stories written about. Follow us on Instagram. On Instagram, a lot of times the day before, the week before, we're posting who to call and whether you want them to support or oppose the bill. And so We want to make this as easy as possible for you guys to understand what's going on and to also be able to call and use your voice. So with that, keep up to date with CaliforniaFamily.org. Sign up for our newsletter there. We send out a weekly email with a bunch of information and just share the podcast with people. But with that, we will see you all next time.